Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Okay, wow. Soda of the podcast. What am I drinking tonight? We went with the Mini Donut Cream Soda from none other than Lift Bridge Brewing Co. Lift Bridge Soda Co. Out in good old Stilly, Stillwater, Minnesota. I didn't see this before. We got on the Lift Bridge on their can. They have their own website listed on there, liftbridgesoda.com, which is pretty cool. So we've done some beers and stuff from Lift Bridge before, but for those that are familiar or maybe kind of spacing, Lift Bridge Brewing Company is out in Stillwater. Like I mentioned, it's right off of North 36 on the north side, and it's almost right smack dab right between that's not an exit. It's right a little east of Stillwater Boulevard, off of Tower Drive West. A little unknown fact. A lot of people think Lift Bridge, hence the name, is right on the river. It's actually not. But it's a really cool brewery. It's been a while since I've been to it, but recommend going to it now that it's getting nicer out. I know this last week has been kind of gloomy out, but definitely recommend it to you guys. And man, kind of going back and forth here on this soda for you guys tonight. So for starters, I was never really much of a cream soda guy growing up. My brother used to love cream soda and really enjoy root beer too. I loved root beer. For some reason, just couldn't get into cream soda. I didn't think it tasted great. And truthfully, when I bought this, I thought it was just cream soda. And then as I was taking a look at it more in the fridge before it came time, I realized it was the Mini Donut Cream Soda and looked at it even more. And the can is super, super cool. If nothing else, you guys got to get it for the can. At least try it. If you don't like it, fine. but yeah, it's the Mini Donut Cream Soda. It, on the website, it describes it as, it debuts, this is their second soda in their sweet lineup of carbonated drinks. The creamy cinnamon profile is reminiscent of their wildly popular Minnesota State Fair staple, the Mini Donut Beer. Take a trip down memory lane with this frothy, non-alcoholic treat, and gosh, I mean, that's their job. I don't think I could have described this any better. And it's kind of like, with all, you know, the tastings I've done for you guys here, it's, this one really is an experience. If you kind of get the cream soda taste right away, and you don't really get the mini donut or cinnamon flavor to it until you're swallowing it, or the cinnamon until you're swallowing it, and then once you're actually done, the aftertaste is really more that mini donut thing. And I mean, like I said, I don't know. I don't mind the experience of the whole thing. I don't know what it is, guys. It's a good, solid drink. There's just, I don't know. I can't pinpoint it. There's something about it that, like, I'd get it again. It was if I was at the state fair or something like that, like, but I don't know that I'd go out of my way to get it again. It's something I could have I could find myself wanting once, maybe twice a year. I don't think it is a bad soda. Like I said, I think, you know, like I said, it's an experience of a drink. It's not your typical, oh, you sip this because, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, if you love mini donuts, yes, this drink is for you. You're going to like it. If you love mini donuts and you want a soda, this thing is right up your alley. Like I said, the older I've gotten, I can appreciate cream soda a little bit more. I think maybe that's it. Maybe as much as I like the experience, I think it's just a little much. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Before we move on, we will give you guys the lowdown. Like I said, Lift Bridge Brewing Co. You can also go check them out at liftbridgesoda.com as well. They have Facebook. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then they actually have a couple other pages. They're on TikTok, LinkedIn, actually, and all that fun stuff, and they actually have a brewery right across the river now in New Richmond, Wisconsin, as well off of Madison Avenue, so definitely go check them out. Before we go, we will get you guys a rating. I'm gonna go 5.7. I'm gonna go 5.7. I do like the experience of it. I don't know, maybe it just seems too much to me. Maybe it seems too much. Maybe that, or maybe, you know what? I think it's a little too much mixed with, for me, the taste as you're swallowing it of the cinnamon might just be a little too pungent for me. So those are kind of my two big knocks on it. Go ahead, try it out. See if you guys like it. And let me know if you think I'm insane. And let me know what we should try next. So with that, for the Tommy Town, before we get too much into the last weekend's split with Mankato State for the men's hockey team. It was actually announced on Monday the 5th that goalie Aaron Trotter was named the CCHA Goalie of the Week in his two games played against the Mavericks this last weekend. This is the second time, this season, and the fourth time in his career he's had this achievement of CCHA Goalie of the Week. In the two-game series, Trotter registered a .919 save percentage with 68 total saves and 2 assists. So, a huge shout-out and congratulations to him, to the sophomore goaltender, on this achievement. But how did the Tommies do, for those that maybe can't remember? Friday night, the comeback bid came up short in overtime as the Tommies lost at home. After 20 minutes of play, the Mavs found themselves in front on the scoreboard 2-0, with a goal just under 3 minutes into the period, and then a power play goal just under 10 minutes into the first period, despite being outshot by the Tommies. But the Tommies stopped top scoring line of Gleason, Wallen, and Malmquist teamed up all together to bring the game within one goal. 1 second after the Tommies' first power play expired, Aaron Trotter and Ryan O'Neill both got assists on Mac Byers' goal, who chipped it past the netminder to tie the game. With his 50th career collegiate point at the 925 mark. St. Thomas continued to roll when Ryan O'Neill scored an unassisted goal only a couple minutes later. The celebration, however, was cut short after a replay review proved that the play was offside. So with that, after 40 minutes, the score remained tied. And then in the third period, St. Thomas killed a penalty with four saves made by Trotter. 3 minutes later, Gleason drew a boarding penalty, and the Toms scored 28 seconds into their fifth power play goal from Cooper Gay, who thought he had the game's winning goal. However, with 61 seconds left in regulation, Minnesota State would pull their goalie, which would prove successful as they forced overtime. However, just over 3 minutes into overtime, the Mavericks got the game winner, and that was that for Friday night. And then on Saturday night, the St. Thomas Tommies were victorious 4-2 over Mankato. After this time, St. Thomas used a two-goal first period. The Tommies scored just 76 seconds into the contest as Cooper Gay registered his 10th of the season. The Tommies let a power play opportunity slip away, but pounced once again at just under 9 minutes into the game. The Mavericks got a turnover, and Liam Malmquist got a fortunate bounce to put the Tommies up 2-0 at that point. From the soda is catching up on me here. However, the Mavericks would get a power play goal in the first for it to only be a one goal game going into the second period. And then Cooper Gabe, just over 2 minutes into the second period, got a power play goal that would prove to be the game-winning goal as Mavericks would score later in the second period. And then just couldn't really do much after that. Mac Byers would score an empty net goal to put the Mavericks away and give them the 4-2 win. And sole possession of first place in the CCHA after this last weekend. So, with that, we hope they continue on this hot streak. They will be going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota for the soon-to-be newest member of the CCHA, Augustana. Tomorrow, Friday night, game will be at 7:07 p.m., and then a Saturday game will be at 6:07 p.m. So that is what we have for the men's team. As for the women's team, they unfortunately lost both games against the Golden Gophers on Friday night 1-3 and Saturday night 2-5. But as much as this was a sweep, this was a step in the right direction for the Tommies, as the Tommies earlier in the season would lose both games, their first series, to the Gophers by a combined score of 0-12 versus this last weekend, them only losing 3-8. So being able to get a couple goals on the board against top teams like the Gophers is huge. It's not necessarily going to put you in the national spotlight right then and there in the top 10 or whatever, 15 or something like that, but it definitely gives you that confidence and giving you that feeling that you're taking a step in the right direction, at the very least. Friday night, like I said, the girls lost 1-3. The Tommies actually held a very, very early lead in this one. Nicole Valario scored just over 12 minutes into the game. However, the Gophers would score 3 unanswered goals to take the win. In this one, The Tommy's got two power play opportunities and we're not able to cash in. And that proved ultimately to be the difference in this one, as the Gophers would get one. And that would actually tie the game up, essentially. And then the next night, losing 2-5, this time the Gophers took the first lead, but they traded goals through early in the second period, as Lauren Stensley would tie the game at 1 and Ella Berger would tie the game at 2. However, power play would seem to be the difference maker once again in this one, as the Golden Gophers would go 2-for-4 on the power play and the Tommies would go 0-for-6. That's essentially how this last weekend went for the lady, the women's hockey team. They will get ready for another tough matchup this upcoming weekend against UMD. Both games will be at 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. So best of luck to them.